David, Darren, this is Real Alternative Radio, Planet 93.9. Look who's joining us here live in studio.
Look who decided to show up.
Mike Schultz is here from the River City's Reader to talk about the movies. Yeah. You weren't able to join us last time.
Nah, we've had some issues.
You've had some vehicular problems.
Yep. It's less about the car than about my terrible timing, because it was 2 weeks ago after leaving the station.
Yeah.
Then I went over to the TV station, finished that, and that's when the car died.
Uh-huh.
But of course, that was the day right before Good Friday, when the only shop I could get it into was closed, and then over the entire Easter weekend. And it's mostly an outdoor shop, which means if it rains or snows, they can't do anything.
Oh, wow.
So then Monday and Tuesday, they couldn't touch it because it was just crud weather the whole time. So that's why it took another week. For, it's this year. It's not my favorite.
Despite your trouble getting around, you were able to go to the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you walk to the movies?
I did. No, I Ubered.
Ah.
And got it all taken care of in a day, like a triple feature.
Now, does having to Uber to a movie somehow affect your enjoyment of it? Because one thing to drive to a movie and it sucks, and it's like, I had to pay extra to have a stranger drive me.
Not at all, just because, I don't know, I've been so lucky with Uber drivers. They've been a delight. I mean, so much fun to talk to. And more often than not, they've been like involved in area theater and filmmaking in weird ways.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, and so it's like, wow, the trip was great. The trip was great. The trip home was great. So, no, didn't bother me at all.
Let's get started with...
Sure.
You finally learned how to say this movie.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Godzilla...
Godzilla Kong.
Kong.
The X is silent.
Why is it there?
A slash mark, right? Or something? Or just Godzilla Kong? I don't know.
Godzilla Kong, the new empire.
Yeah. It's not bad. Because I finally figured it out, because my audience was pretty packed, matinee. A lot of kids under, like, 8. A lot of small children. Much the way that all the Jurassic Parks now have little kids everywhere. And so it was like, okay, Schultz, how about watching this from the perspective of a 7-year-old kid instead of, a mid-50s guy who hates all these movies? And looking at it like that, it's not so bad. And all things considered, it was my favorite. I still didn't like it, but... the actors were a lot more fun. They had goofier things to do. The baby Kong has to go. The baby Kong is the worst irritating thing in the world. But the Godzilla stuff was great. The movie was smart because it didn't have a lot of dialogue. Most of it is just breaking buildings and beating each other up. And even when we meet like this kingdom of humans that live in hollow earth in the middle of the earth, they're all telepathic. So we don't even have crummy dialogue to listen to with the humans. It was like, well done. Okay.
The problem with these Godzilla pictures is the dialogue. Let's just get rid of it.
Yeah. Just gone. And then it was like, oh, this is how a 7-year-old would enjoy this. Just big monsters beating each other up. It was okay.
Did the viewing of Godzilla -1, you think, help or hurt your enjoyment of this movie?
It was easy.
Did you find yourself a lot looking at it going, boy, the Japanese are a lot better at this?
Well, the 7-year-old didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it entered my brain while watching it at all, just because it's so easy to separate. It's one's black and white and in Japanese, one's full color and in English. I didn't think about it until after, of course, where it was like, well, it wasn't Godzilla -1.
Not going to win any Academy Awards.
No. But it was all right.
You also saw a Liam Neeson movie.
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it.
Now, is that a result of going in, watching that as a 7-year-old as well?
that might have also helped. But no, I actually went as a grown-up.
As a grown-up in this one.
It was smart. It was smartly done. It had some great dialogue. And it reminds you that Neeson can be good at it. I mean... he's not ever bad at his job. It's just the scripts are always so terrible. And this one had a sharp script. It was really quite nasty. Had a really good bunch of villains. And what was cool is that the bad guys in this are members of the IRA. And Neeson, the hero, is a former contract killer. And so the head bad guy, Kerry Condon, basically confronts him at one point saying, you realize you're worse than me. Because I'm actually doing this for a cause. Mm-hmm. I want to liberate Ireland. You just want to get a check. And so it has like pretty cool, kind of morality going with it. I dug it.
In your review, that there's also kind of like this meta quality because Liam Neeson, lost his wife, Natasha Richardson.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And that's a key point of the movie. And his wife would be disappointed in him because of what he's been doing. Like, there's a lot of that where you're watching the movie thinking, oh, there's more going on here than just Liam Neeson with a gun.
There's subtext in that thing because, yeah, he does have a conversation with Buddy with a buddy who's and he's saying, you know, my wife passed away years ago. And I don't think she would have liked how I've been living the last, you know, 10 years of my life. And it's like, well, his late wife, Liam Neeson's, is a Tony-winning actor.
Right.
Who's a Redgrave. Right. You know, I mean, yeah. And I don't think she would be digging his choices. And when he says that, it feels a little bit like an admission of something, of like, I could be doing better. I could be making more movies here in my home country of Ireland, for instance,
right,
with good scripts and good actors. So yeah, there was stuff going on. I quite liked it. It was good.
What is Ripley?
Ripley is the latest version of the talented Mr. Ripley, the Patricia Highsmith novel, 25 years ago, Matt Damon movie, you remember?
Yes. Was that Jude Law? And
Jude Law.
That's and 25 years?
25 years ago, 99.
Wow.
And Gwyneth Paltrow. And so this is an 8-episode limited series version of that with a little bit of extra. There were like 5 Ripley books, I think, with a few characters brought in from other books. All Done in Black and White by Steven Zaillian, who's a tremendous screenwriter and a really good director. And it's Andrew Scott as Ripley, who is, of course, Moriarty from Sherlock and the hot priest from Fleabag. He's amazing. And it's my favorite thing of the year. I watched all 8 hours over the weekend.
And where do you find this?
Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you can stream the whole thing at once. I did a 3-hour chunk, a 2-hour chunk, and a 3-hour chunk, and got it done in 3 days. And it was so exciting and very, very funny because he's just skeevy as all get out. And you want him to keep pulling off these things. You guys have seen Ripley, the first one?
Never once.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, but you must.
Okay.
I saw the movie.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It's one of the greats of the 90s. And 99 is like a legendarily great year. It's in my top 3 for movies that year, but this, and this is a different animal, so you don't have to compare them, but it was just as exciting, funnier, beautifully shot in black and white, incredibly well acted for the most part. The guy who plays the Jude Law part, Johnny Flynn, isn't terribly interesting. Aside from that, it was tremendous. I loved it.
Okay. So Ripley is really good on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
You also saw The First Omen.
I did see The First Omen.
It feels to me, Mike, like you've seen a lot of these movies with nuns.
Yeah.
Like
2 in 3 weekends.
It's the same movie.
Well, okay. So Immaculate, the Sidney Sweeney one that we talked about last time. American nun goes to Italy. Horrible things happen. We want to get someone pregnant.
Oh, by the way, you never did tell us. You'll have to tell us off the air.
I will. Yeah, I didn't tell you what like the secret was.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Anyway, that's the plot of Immaculate. And this one is American nun goes to Italy. Bad things happen. They want to get someone pregnant. And so it's like, it's not a badly made movie, but I think my problem was just deja vu. I was going, I literally just saw this.
Right.
2 minutes ago. And it's not all that different in terms of like what the end goal is, as it was in Immaculate. So it was fine. I would have probably enjoyed it.
If you'd seen it first?
If I'd seen it first or never seen the other one at all.
Mm.
It was decent. It's not, it wasn't great, but it was fine. And for a prequel to, you know, a franchise, no one is asking for another Omen. We've got plenty of these things, you know, out there. So, but it's fine. Yeah.
Monkey Man is basically Dev Patel as John Wick, right?
Yeah, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
It's not fun. And it's getting really strong reviews, which I was surprised by because it is like a John Wick, just less inventively choreographed, not as exciting, not as well paced, not as well acted, not as well written. I mean, it's like everything a John Wick is, except not as good and kind of ladled with a lot of Indian history that Dev Patel is trying, I think, to sneak into the movie to make it feel like it's actually about something. It's not just a guy kicking butt in the ring. It's actually about you know, Indian culture and our heritage and a monkey god man that we worship. And it was like, and so it just felt like, you're trying too hard, dude. Just make him punch people.
Yeah.
That's all we're here for. I wasn't a fan. Didn't like it.
What's Wicked Little Letters?
That one's fun. That's Olivia Colman. It's set in the 20s in a small little hamlet in London.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
As soon as you say it has Olivia Colman,
you're on board?
I'm there.
Okay. Good night.
We're done here, Mike.
Olivia Colman. Let me call Mitt. You're good.
One ticket for Dave, please. Yeah. God, she's great in everything.
She's great in everything.
She's good in this.
She's great in this. Okay. Yeah, it's set in 1920 in England, and she plays this very prim woman in the town who lives very religiously devout and lives with her parents, still shares a room with her parents, and she's, you know, 48, 49. And she starts getting these anonymous letters with the foulest language you've ever heard about all the things that she should do with certain instruments. And the, and I mean, it's gross and funny because it's set in 1920s England, and they read these letters out loud and you're like, ouch, that's terrible. And so you start, she suspects the next door neighbor, who's an Irish woman, played by Jessie Buckley, who's also amazing in everything. She's a single mom, and she's dating a black guy, and her daughter wants to play guitar. And so everyone's like, oh, it's got to be her. Got to be her. Which means you know it's not. Yes. And so the movie is like about who's sending these anonymous letters to town. It's a hoot.
Is she the only one getting them?
No. Other people get them as well.
Okay.
But she gets like 19 of them. So the ire is pretty much directed at her. But other people start getting them too. It's not surprising in terms of like how it turns out. And it's a little bit on the nose as far as, boy, weren't men terrible to women in the 20s? You know, it's really pushed into your face a lot. It's a Britcom, so it's got themes that are very obvious, but it's all dealt with a very light touch, and it's funny and charming, and it's Olivia Colman. It was great. It was great to watch. Not a great movie, but really fun.
Last Picture House in downtown Denver was showing a movie called Problemista.
Yeah, that one's already gone.
Yeah.
As of today, I think.
Yeah.
It's Julio Torres was either a writer for Saturday Night Live or a cast member, maybe both. I'm not sure. But it's basically an autobiographical story of how he went from El Salvador to New York City and tried to get his work visa and kept getting these terrible, humiliating temp jobs until the Swinton plays an art dealer who hires him. It's a little bit self-consciously precious in a fantastical way that is like A24 at its worst. And there's too much Tilda Swinton, which I never say, but a little of her goes a long way, and she's the star for 90 minutes of bellowing, shrieking Tilda Swintonness. And so it was a lot. It was a lot to take, but it's got moments. It's pretty visually inventive. If it's streaming for free, check it out. Problemista. Yeah.
We're sending you off to the theaters to see a movie called Civil War.
Here we go.
Oof. In a dystopian future America, a team of military-embedded journalists race against time to reach Washington, D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House.
Yeah, this one looks... The previews are disturbing. I've seen this with several people, three of whom now, at different times, have turned to me after the preview and said some variation on... Do we need this right now? And I'm like, I'm not sure.
Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst.
Right?
That's
good.
They can do no wrong as a couple, huh?
Agreed. Alex Garland, not always great, but when he's great, he does Ex Machina, you know? And the reviews are pretty strong. So, but it looks grim. It looks really grim. Nick Offerman is the president, too. We get...
Nice.
Yeah, right? I mean, I'm on board, but I'm also going, okay, let's see how this goes over.
Is that it?
No, we got some stuff. I don't think I'm going to be able to get to all the stuff. We have one called Arcadian with Nicolas Cage, a horror movie about, it's kind of like A Quiet Place, but I think they can see you as well as hear you. Do you have any info on that one?
No.
It's him and his two teenage kids. It's also getting decent reviews. Premiered at South by Southwest.
Arcadian, I mean, I'm looking at the Cinemark website.
Okay.
And I've never seen this before. The Cinemark website just says, movie poster coming
soon.
Yeah,
we don't have that.
Yes, I saw that too. I was really?
In the near future on a decimated Earth, Paul and his twin sons find tranquility by day, but terror by night, when ferocious creatures awaken and consume all living souls in their path. When Paul is nearly killed, the boys come up with a desperate plan for survival, using everything their father taught them to keep them alive.
Yeah.
How do you get any sleep?
I don't know. I guess you just do. Okay. I guess you do radio host hours and you just sleep during the day.
I'm guessing.
And I have to mention, I'm so mad. I'm leaving town this weekend. I've got twin birthday parties in the Chicagoland area. I can't be around. But Last Picture House is opening a movie called Hundreds of Beavers.
Huh.
This thing had a trailer.
I already saw this movie.
A trailer that knocked me out.
Hundreds of Beavers?
Knocked me out. It is it's designed as a silent movie of the 20s, or the teens even.
Okay.
And it's about a guy who has to contend with hundreds of beavers, and they're all humans in big beaver costumes. And it looks like a slapstick. It looks like slapstick genius. The trailer just killed me. And it's got critical reviews, like one of the best movies of the millennium. I mean,
hundreds
of beavers.
Of beavers, yeah. At the Last Picture House.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not, and they're not even, I can't even see it in Chicagoland because it's only playing like in specialty house movie theaters. Uh-huh. And you have to apparently like book it individually and stuff. It's doing like a road tour.
What?
It looks like so much fun. If I can't, I can't see it, unfortunately, by Sunday, but I will be there next week, during the week to catch this.
In the 19th century, a drunken Applejack salesman must go from zero to hero and become North America's greatest fur trapper by defeating hundreds of beavers. Oh, okay.
Watch that trailer.
All right.
Yeah,
you must. I might have to go.
It looks just insane. I can't even wait.
I have not used my my half price movie for Last Picture House this month. This might be the one that
that's the one. I have to go see this. Do that with a double feature with Civil War while you're there. And
there's also a movie opening up called Whiplash. Sting. Do you know anything about Sting?
Yeah, we're getting Sting too.
Sting is rated R, a horror movie. Charlotte is a rebellious 12-year-old girl who finds a tiny spider in her rundown apartment building. She keeps it in a jar, but it soon starts to grow at a monstrous rate and develop an insatiable appetite for food. As her neighbors begin to disappear, Charlotte and her family find themselves in a desperate fight for their lives against a ravenous arachnid with a taste for human flesh.
Doesn't that sound fun? Mm-hmm.
The fact that her name is Charlotte's a little on the nose.
It's
but
a little bit, but
What would you like, Sting?
I'd like some pig.
Oh, yes. We're getting that, too. Weirdly, we're getting that for, like, two shows a day and the Nicolas Cage for, like, two shows a day. So neither one gets a full schedule, but it looks fun.
I'll say this. Like, a girl grows a giant spider that eats people and hundreds of beavers. These are not movies I've heard of before. These are not premises I've heard of before.
No, right? That's something new.
We should reward this.
I agree. So bring it on. Yeah.
Let us know if these movies are any good.
I'll certainly do my best.
Pages of the River Cities Reader and online at rcreader.com. He is Mike Schultz, movie critic for the River Cities Reader. Mike, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you.